Message, M037, A Quickening Spirit. A word given by Cecil J. Duseal, 6th of April, 1971.
Praise God, we're glad to be here again tonight, and there's one pressing on my heart. And I don't care how much I press you. I don't care how much you say I talk the one thing over. But boy, you don't get this thing, and I feel that you should be pressed. And you should be pressed right into it. The area of moving in to God and into this fullness. We have not all yet understood what we are talking about. You see, we know the why of it. We know that it ought to be, but we don't know the how of it. And the how of it cannot be known here. It's got to be known in the heart. Amen. Now let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the Lord leads, and then we will see what he has for us there. We are dealing with verse 44 going down, and we are dealing with a body that has been sown in dishonor and is to be raised in honor. And in our past lives in the outer court, we used to preach that this is a death message. We used to preach it at sermons at funerals. But this now is your funeral. And we are now preaching over you, the dead. Praise be to God. Some of us do not understand what is meant by the word dead. And we, the people who are in Christ and have not yet come forth in Christ, we are dead in Christ. No amens. Let's go over. Praise God. We are the dead in Christ. We need a resurrection. Amen. Praise be to God. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. There is a natural McCracken and there is a spiritual McCracken right here. Now, where is the natural Smiley? I can see him with my natural eyes. If I don't have spiritual eyes, I cannot see the spiritual Smiley. Because what God showed me since this week is, no, not this week, last week, is that the man is, not has, but it, the man is a spirit and he has a body. Now, if Smiley is not that body that I see sitting there, but Smiley is a spirit, then I cannot see Smiley. Unless I get in the spirit and God reveals Smiley to me, I cannot see him. Blessed be to God. And if Trevor, and if Marge, and if Kit, and if everybody comprises the body of Jesus Christ, and I am not in the spirit, I cannot see the body of Jesus Christ. Yes. For the body of Jesus Christ is a spirit. Amen. Now, this spirit can be seen by other spirits. This spirit can be communicated with by other spirits. This spirit is on the same sort of velocity as the other spirits. And this spirit has a spirit energy as other spirits. Therefore, there is a kind of rapport or a kind of oneness or a kind of communication between spirits. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So when we gather together, what happens? Many bodies come together and each body sits in a chair. What happened to the spirits? The spirits are either together or fighting against one another or disturbing the service or adding to the glory, decreasing the power or adding to the power.
Amen.
Now it depends where you are according to where you were today. For you can't throw your spirit in a gear. And when I say your spirit, I really mean your soul, you know. Because you, your soul is a spirit. You can't throw that soul in a gear when that soul has been on a low frequency since morning. Like a battery run down. A battery run down cannot be charged unless it is connected to a charger. And God gave us the beautiful understanding of the wise. You know, the Bible was a lot of questions to me. And then all of a sudden, the answers came. And then all of a sudden, the wise of the answers came. Why? Why is this so? Why is that so? Why is the other so? Now I'm giving you a why that you never, most of us never thought of. We never thought of it. It's a why that we never just thought of. We are many spirits gathered together and we are on different frequencies. Let's see what Paul said about this. He said, verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Let's take you now. We're not talking about stars, and we're going to talk about you. One sister differs from another sister in the radiation of the power of God within her being. One brother differs from another brother, and you can hardly find two that are upon the same realm of power. This whole thing generates around your thought pattern. What goes on in your soul? Where have you been feeding?
Yes.
Blessed be to God. Amen. The Songs of Solomon comes to me. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he said, where that the love was asking, where that he feed his flocks. Amen. I want to find where he feed his flocks that I can go there too and feed. Now, praise be to God, if you feed upon a low frequency charge, you are going to be just downright low when you get in here. If you've been feeding on a high voltage, you are going to shock somebody when you get in here.
Amen.
Because we radiate power. Glory to God. There is a certain amount of overshadowing that each man overshadows, each woman overshadows, each child overshadows, according to that which you pull from above.
Amen.
We pull from above as much as we ourselves desire within ourselves. For it is the desire within that causes the pulling from God. And the pulling from God, pardon me, occurs when you begin to meditate upon God and upon His Word. Power to heal. You know what healing is? Healing is the driving out of death. Out of another man's body. Or out of your own body. Death is sickness. That's why Paul said he had not yet resurrected from the dead. Death works in our members. And the reason we cannot drive it out is because we have not generated enough power.
Amen.
Amen. And if a lot of death is in you, it takes a lot of power to drive out that lot of death.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And where there is little death, somebody was asking the question. Yes, somebody here was asking the question, why is it some things you pray for and the things just you get healed, or the person get healed so easily, and some things are so hard to be healed from? Because some things are a little bit of death and some things are a lot of death. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The disciples who walked out and many demons were cast out, they went forth and cast out demons in the name of the Lord. Jesus one day was off somewhere and they caught a little boy with epileptic demons. Demons that were tearing him and throwing him down on the floor. And they tried to cast out and they were rebuking and it could not come out. And Jesus said to them, they said, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Jesus just come right along and said, come out of him. That demon cut him down to the ground and got out of him as fast as he could. They said, but why couldn't we do it? Jesus said to them, he said, you faithless generation, how long will I be with you? He said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. If you want to drive out that demon, you have to pray and fast.
Amen.
Why? Glory to God, because in prayer and fasting, you are going to generate enough power to drive out a powerful demon like this. Amen. Somebody else asked Jesus. He said, what is the situation? Jesus said, a strong man keepeth his house. It takes a stronger man to come along and to drive him out of his palaces. Amen. Here comes back Einstein's theory again. Force is equal to mass plus velocity or something like that. Amen. In other words, if I draw my fist and hit you, you're going to get enough blow as much as my weight is in it and the speed of my hand. God is showing us something higher and greater than our forefathers had seen. Glory to God. We have got to, you know, get down to the nitty-gritty. Get down to the nitty-gritty of the whole matter of our salvation, our life. Stop blaming God. God, do this. Oh God, you hold me here and you won't let me go. Oh God, heal me. Oh God, do this. God said, all power is given unto you in heaven and in earth. He said, go. And the power is there and we don't use it. God gave us the power. The power is there to heal every sickness, to deliver every soul, to cleanse every sin, to set at liberty everyone that is bruised. And God tell us how we might invoke this power. Amen. I have known of times when I wanted to believe God for a certain deliverance and I couldn't believe him for it. I don't know if you ever reached that place. You know God is powerful, you know he's good, you know he wants to do it. You want to believe him and you can't believe him, something in here just can't come up to it. Praise be to God. And I went on a fast, and in the space of 2 days, the power and energy, real energy of God, you know you walk up to the sickness and say, get away in Jesus' name, and it happens just like that, because you have got a new energy within. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. This last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now this is a verse the Lord brought to me. Because we are now living souls. Once we were dead in trespasses and sins, but now, praise God, we are living souls. We were dead souls, then we became living souls, and now we are going to be quickening spirits. Amen. Three stages. Dead souls, then we became living souls, then we are going to be quickening spirits. And this is what God is saying to us. Now, how much of the quickening spirit have you got in you? And how much of the living soul have you got left in you? And this is what determines how much power you have either to quicken or be quickened yourselves. Because the dead cannot be quickened unless they be quickened to life. That is, a person that is dead in trespasses and sins, you preach to them salvation so that they might accept it. But a person that is quickened and has become alive, then you preach to that person to become a quickening spirit. So right here in the body we have, let's say, two stages of people. One person is a living soul, and because you're a living soul, you eat, spiritually speaking, you feed, you grow, you desire to be a quickening spirit. This is what God is bringing us to. How do we get to be quickening spirits? What is the process? Yes.
For the sake of some of the new Christians here, could you explain the term quickening so that they'll really get that part?
Yeah, praise God. The word, the word says that Adam, the first Adam, was a living soul, meaning to say that God took a piece of clay and God, the positive God, acted upon the negative clay, and a third entity came into being, which was a man, a soul, a creation. That which God had in his mind was right there before him, and it occupied a piece of clay, and this became a living soul. Now, God was not satisfied with a living soul, because the living soul was not the expression of Almighty God. Therefore, God wanted a being that expressed God even as himself. In other words, he wanted to multiply God. He wanted to have a son that would be the expressed image of himself. Therefore, he took a seed out of himself, part of his life energy. Your life energy is what? Your blood. Okay? Well, God took his life energy and he broke it down and brought it down into matter, a material, natural spermatozoa. And he put it into a girl named Mary, and she conceived. Therefore, the blood of that sperm was directly from Almighty God himself. That man was not as we are, or we were, man of man and man of a woman, but that man was part God and part Mary. So he, his blood that he had running through his veins came from God. Therefore, it is quite likely that he would have the nature of God.
Yes.
Amen. So God incorporated him with his spirit immediately, because there was no sinful nature. You understand? There was no sinful nature there. So God incorporated him with his spirit, because the reason why you couldn't receive the Holy Ghost is because you weren't saved. So when you were saved, you were free or fit to receive the Holy Ghost. And then you received the Holy Ghost, so that's where Jesus Christ was. He received the Holy Ghost before his birth, and then he had the Christ Spirit within his soul. I had a picture of Jesus. Let me just draw it on the board for those who never seen it before. Not the sacrilegious picture that we have on our walls, but the Holy Ghost filling him and Christ in his soul, filling his soul. So he was God in the spirit, God in the soul, and in the body he was a man. And so he became a quickening spirit. That's what we mean by quickening, or a life-giving spirit.
Yes. Why is picture of Jesus sacrilegious?
Oh, well, you haven't been here with us. The picture of Jesus is not Jesus at all. It is the picture of Ninus, the first Antichrist. That wasn't Jesus. And God said, thou shalt not make unto me any graven image or any likeness of anything within the heavens or within the earth beneath or within the sea or anywhere. Neither shalt thou bow down thyself to them nor serve them. And if we are breaking the law, then we haven't even started in grace. So God is absolutely against any picture of God. No picture of God. We should never have a picture of God. See, and Jesus is God. So, yeah, that's what I said.
Well, you could have a picture of Jesus as your resurrection.
If you had a picture of him, but that picture you have there is a picture of Ninus. Because you can trace it back in history. You go look it up. That's a picture of Ninus, the first Antichrist. Nimrod's son, Semiramis' son, Nimrod's wife's child, who they put up as a Christ. So, no picture, Jesus never left his picture here. And the picture you have on your wall is entirely different from the picture of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53. He was without form nor comeliness. When looking upon him, that one should desire him. He said he wasn't pretty like that picture we have there. You think you'd like us to read it, to check it over, make sure you remember the passage? You see, and so the picture that the Isaiah gave us is a different picture entirely from the one that the world men give. That picture was brought into the church from the Babylonish church and the Hedenic church by the Roman Catholic. And when the Seventh-day Adventists begin to study the Bible, and they found out that the Roman Catholics had all the gods of Rome and the gods of Greece have their pictures and call them different saints inside the church, and the people were still bowing down to the same gods that they used to outside there. When the Seventh-day Adventists studied and found out that that was what the Roman Catholics were doing, they went and they made themselves another picture with black hair and tried to make it different from Semiramis' son, who has blue eyes and brown flowing hair. And they made themselves a picture, and so the Episcopalians decided to make themselves a picture also. And so they made another picture. And so most of the religions of today make their own Jesus. You check all the pictures, brother, and you'll find that everyone is different. And so even today, you find a picture, the artists of the Jesus movement, they are making their own Jesus picture. They're going the same way of the Babylonians. Amen. Praise God. Yes.
It's like a flag. It's a symbol. It's what it stands for.
A flag is a symbol. Yeah. Well,
a picture of Jesus is what you put into it. If you want to think it's Jesus, then it will be Jesus to you.
Well, if suppose it is Jesus to you, it makes it worse, for God said, "Thou shalt not make of thyself any image of Jesus." So what would you do? You would be breaking the law of God. He doesn't want you to make. You see, the image is the thing that caused men to turn from God. From the very beginning of time, every time you make an image of God, you know, when Moses came down from the mountain and those guys were dancing around that calf, what they were saying? They were saying that it's God, it's not the calf they're worshiping. We're not worshiping a calf, we know better than that. We just make an image of God so that we can see something to worship. Well, it's a carnal man that wants to see God to worship him. Jesus said, "Blessed are ye who had not seen and yet had believed."
Amen.
Believe you me, brother. If you go to God tonight and you tell him that wretched fellow up there said that your pictures are all Babylonish and demonic. And you know the worst part about it is this Easter now. And the thing that the Catholics have there and say is the Madonna, it's really the Madonna. But what is the Madonna? Did you ever study the word Madonna? The Madonna is mother and child worship from Babylon. The word Madonna, the very word Madonna, is a mother and child worship from Babylon. And we, the Christians and the sons of God, should have nothing to do with that sort of thing. You see, so all the things, St. Peter, St. Paul, all lies. Not St. Peter at all. That's not how we look. That's not St. Paul at all. All those images they have around there are images that they took out of the Babylonish temple, out of the temple of Venus, and dress them up and get the people to worship them just the same. Their Easter is a lie, their Christmas is a lie, their holidays are all Babylonish holidays, which were worshipped long before Jesus died. And the whole plan is a demonic plan, which we have been participating in, and the church people all run after Balaam. But blessed be to God Almighty, some of us wake up. We are not going to worship Balaam anymore. We're going to worship Jesus Christ and crucified. Praise be to God. And so this is a picture of Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit filled with the Holy Ghost, soul filled with the Christ, and the body, a man. And so this is what we mean when we talk about a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. Jesus Christ comes along here and he sheds life over the whole crowd, and all of us are quickened. And said, didn't our hearts burn within us while we talk with him. Praise be to God. The very sick is supposed to come into the presence of God, the presence of the body of Christ, and be healed. Without a word said to you, you should come in among the sons of God, and the radiation of power from within blesses everybody and heals the body. This is why we have nothing to boast about. Amen. It's because we are nowhere in God. We are awakened like dead men, awakened from a long dream, and we are crying out for life. This energy which is coming from the throne of God, I told you I would speak to you about the why of it. And this is a part that concerns me so much. You cannot think on trash. You cannot live in trash. You cannot scheme and plan and have your minds upon the things of this world and expect to radiate the power of God from the same soul. Your minds must be stayed on God. He said he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. You must keep your mind stayed on God. No demon, no devil in hell, no forces, no powers can overcome you if your mind is stayed on God. And this is where our tempter comes in. Satan comes and he dazzles something before your eyes. Have you ever said to yourself, I'm going to spend half an hour with the Lord now? Have you ever said to, and see how many things you have, and how many times the phone rings for that half hour, and how many people knock at the door, and how many all kinds of disturbances come immediately. You say you're going to, you have got to fight. Take off that phone and throw it down and lock that door and put up a sign absent. You know what I mean? You got to deliberately do something to get that half an hour or that hour with God. And the reason is, Satan doesn't want you to think. Satan knows that if the people begin to think on God, if the people begin to think about God, there's going to be such a radiation in the spirit. There's going to be so much brightness in their spirit that he cannot face them. Now there is something you must know, brethren, that Satan can see your spirit. Let's go back on that thought. We can see your body, but we can't see your spirit. We can't see your soul. Satan can see your soul, because your soul is spirit matter, and spirits can see spirits. If you are flashing past here at 2,000 miles an hour, you can take your glass and look down and see everything on the earth all around for miles around. And you can see them and you can take photographs of them, and they don't see you at all because you're going too fast. The people who are stationary can't see you, but you can see them. And this is what is happening. The spiritual realm is up on a higher frequency than the realm in which we are. And they are able to see us, but we cannot see them unless we get in the spirit. Amen. So when you have a vision, it is a spirit vision. The spirit is lifting you up into another realm so that consciously you can participate in something that is not in your world at all, but maybe something coming your way to hit you. And this is what is vision. This is why some people see visions, because they give way to the spirit, and the spirit is able to move them as he likes into a vision, out of a vision. Praise God. I notice that if we are praying, and the people who have this gift of visions, those who are moving in prophecy, if they don't put their minds to what you are praying, they don't get any vision. Because putting your mind to what I am praying, you are submitting your spirit to the thing, and your spirit is able to communicate with you because the spirit has an opening where he can use you through spirit and soul. There are some people who have closed up souls, tightly closed up, and the spirit cannot get the chance to move through from soul to spirit to give you a conscious understanding, to impress your conscious mind with what's going on in the other realm. So this is what is happening. We are being called upon to turn our eyes upon Jesus. You see, these little things, they are there in the Bible. We say them every day. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Didn't we see it?
Yes.
But we didn't understand it. That things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you begin to look on Jesus, look on things of God, think about things of God, think about the Bible, think about the Word, think about God and his what he's doing, pardon me, in the earth today, then you will begin to see spirituality. For it is not you who are going to lift yourself by your bootstraps, but it is God who is going to lift you by your submission to his word. Amen. So you ask the question, where is the how? How do I get into this? Sister, how did you learn to read? How did you learn to read? How did you learn the subjects you got at school? Did you just fly past and pray and say, oh God, just put all these subjects into my head 1 minute? You took your book and you went down and you studied. You have got to spend time with Jesus. Some of us are unfair to Jesus. We are running about saying that Jesus won't talk to us. God won't talk to me. God won't talk to you because you won't talk to God. If you spend time with God, he'll surely talk to you. Because he wants to talk to you more than you want to talk to him. The truth is you hardly want to talk to God. For some people are afraid of talking to God, lest God should tell them certain things. Did you know that? I mean, we had better face it squarely. Amen. You see a young lady and you badly want to marry her. You want to marry her more than you want to live. And you just have a doubt that if you go and ask God, he's going to say no. And you keep bombinating and running around, taking the back alleys and praising God, but praising him so loud that he doesn't get a chance to say anything to you. You ever been in that predicament? Maybe some of us in the same predicament right now. But listen, it won't do you any good. You hear me? You might as well face the music. Because I have seen it time and time again that there is only one road to heaven, and it's a straight and narrow way.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. A straight and a narrow way. I'm going to close. Praise God. But I want you just to be satisfied with this one point. Amen. Amen. First man Adam was earthly. Sorry, not earthly. What was he? Earthy. He was earthy. He wasn't even earthly. He was earthy. Some of us are earthly. Amen. That means he was of dirt, made out of earth, and he was subject to earth. The second is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthy, such are they that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they that are also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, pardon me, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Meaning to say, those of us who are worried about our physical, carnal life, those of us who are afraid to die and are trembling, what's going to happen to my flesh, my physical, carnal life, those of us who are in love with the carnal world, with the present world, those of us who, when we say, oh God, save America, we mean, Lord, let her just continue as she's going on. We are in league with the things that are. We are in league with the system and the order of things. When I talk about the system, I'm not talking about your government, you know. Please remember that. Please understand one. Two laws. One law is a law of life in Christ Jesus, and the other law is the law of sin and death. We are living under the law of sin and death. We are eating and living and tired and sleepy and hungry and things like that. And those people who want to see the world to continue in that way, they are earthly, earthbound in their minds, and need to be quickened of God. Amen. But those who are heavenly want this to pass away. Not only that, some people want the other brother over there to pass away, but as to me, I just want to continue. But we want flesh, this carnal, wretched thing that lives and distresses my spirit. If my flesh were removed, as I stand here before you, I would be completely in the spirit. Those who want this flesh order to continue are not understanding God right. That's why he said, flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. It's the spirit that's going to inherit eternal life, and then the spirit will deliver the body from the bondage of corruption into which it now is.
The physical laws, like Einstein's law, the equivalence between mass and energy, equals mc squared, and Newton's law, the inertia one force equals mass times acceleration. Do they have their counterparts?
Yeah, not a counterpart. But the law of the spirit is what caused them to behave as they do. What caused us to discover that there is such a law. It is a spiritual law, actually. But then it works in all realms, so it works in our natural realm here too. So God says the things on earth are a pattern of the things in the heaven. So everything you see down here is a pattern of something in heaven.
Like for instance, God is pure
energy.
So then he projected some of his energy into this world to create everything that we see.
Yes.
Mass and energy.
Everything.
The same thing.
Yeah. Right. Because energy actually is not something physical.
Right,
yeah. It's a spiritual matter, really. But man has discovered how to harness some, actually is the slower type of energy that we are really harnessing and using. The less powerful type. and all the spiritual laws. Now, brethren, please, Brother Trevor is provoking me here. All the spiritual energy is available to the littlest Christian here to use in our realm. But we have not learnt, because of our disobedience, how to appropriate it. But God gave us some laws, and the Bible is the book of God's laws of how to create and appropriate spiritual energy. And yet we have been so blind over the many years that we did not know that the Bible was that rule book. In other words, it's so simple, brother. You know, you are going to do certain things with your in your trade, and you know that you have got to clean that metal properly before you use it. Or some metals, you've got to have an absolutely polished surface before you can use it for certain things. Good. Now, God said your vessel must be clean, and he tells you how to keep your vessel clean in order that you might be of use to God. He didn't go for, he didn't tell you really the whole story that energy can't work in a dirty vessel, just like how certain metals could never. You're going to solder a piece of thing, you got to clean that surface off. Amen. It's just as simple as that. And if you don't, the law works against you. It breaks off after you have done the job. So the very men who know science and the very men who understand one and one making two, they become stupid when it comes to the spirit laws. For they will not apply the same meticulous dealing that they apply in the material things with the spiritual things. Why? Because their natural senses tell them that if I want to solder that leg onto that chair, I have got to clean it off or it won't hold. And yet their spiritual sense didn't tell them that it won't hold in the spirit either. See? So this is the reason. It's not that God is denying us power to heal, power to save, power to deliver, power to live by. But it is that we are denying ourselves. Now, let me go on a little further. Forgive me, please. We are coming into a time of desperation, great desperation. Why? The Bible shows that in this time, there would be certain spirits let loose in the earth, which were not loose before. If these spirits are loosed and they are counteracting us, then we need more power. Amen. Now is the time we need more power. But the power has been there all the while for us. And this is what God is trying to break through our thick skulls. That is in our soulish realm. We need to receive more of that power, that radiance from heaven. And we can only receive it by submitting ourselves to God and be absolutely clean in mind and body, intentions, desires, will, emotions. Some people have some unclean emotion. Forgive me, brethren, but we are men of the world. And we know what unclean emotions mean. And out there in sin, we had some terribly unclean, filthy emotions. When God sanctify you, don't tell me you're going to hold the cleanliness of God and the unclean emotion in the same vessel and feel that you have a license to be unclean. It's your own business. Amen. The soda won't hold. Every time you soda it, it will drop off. Was there another question? Yes.
during 45 and 46. We fit the dead end in sin into the body with the three realms, and the living soul into the soul, and the quickening spirit into the spirit realm. And when the living soul is changed into a quickening spirit, that would be the same time when the spirit realm takes over the soul realm and they become one. Would that be the same time when the living soul would be transformed into a quickening spirit, that the spirit realm would take the soul realm and become one?
This is what we call the coming of Christ. Christ has already come in our realm. The Spirit of Christ is in His people. This Spirit is striving to regenerate the whole soul so that man in his soul will be exactly like the Son of God. Right? When that happens, then it will be the time when when that happens, it will be the takeover.
I just wanted to make sure that I was properly correlating the two, this passage with
yes, with praise God. I didn't mention the dead in Christ passages because we mention them every night, you know, that we preach. But if there's anybody who really want to understand more about that, we could just run through it for you. Praise God. No more questions? Yes? The work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. There was a man named Eliezer who was the servant of a man named Abraham. And he called Eliezer and said, "Come, put your hand on my thigh, and you swear to me that you'll get me a bride from my own country and from my own people." And so he went into Laban of Padan Aram, the uncle, and decided to bring a bride from his country to Isaac. Amen. And so Isaac is the type of Christ Jesus, and the bride is the church, and Eliezer is the Holy Ghost. So the work of the Holy Ghost is to bring the church to Christ. And we find that in John chapter 14. And Jesus said, "When the Comforter is come, he shall lead you into all truth, and he shall teach you all things." So we find that the Holy Ghost primarily his job is to bring you to Christ. But his job also is to bring Christ to you. Amen. For when Eliezer came with the camel in the afternoon, he saw Isaac walking in the field, and when Isaac lifted up his eyes and he saw Eliezer, he accepted Rebekah. If he didn't see Eliezer, he would know that that is not his Rebekah. But you see, he recognized Eliezer. Now, when the Holy Ghost, when the angel went to Mary, the angel told Mary that the Holy Ghost will plant a seed, it will overshadow you and plant a seed in your womb. God did not give his seed to Gabriel. He gave his seed to the Holy Ghost. So we find that the Holy Ghost is the seed planter. If you receive the blood of Jesus Christ quickening in your soul and you obey the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of God, you receive the Holy Ghost. If you receive the Holy Ghost and you obey that Spirit which is within you, leading you on into deeper things, leading you into the Lord, then you receive the Christ within your soul. And if you obey the Christ within your soul, the Christ comes forth within you one day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ rise. Now, you get a better picture. I'll go all over it again. Yeah, right. You see, in the Pentecostal churches, we used to preach that the baptism is the seal of God, and that's it. You're okay, you're all right, you're finished. But now God has shown us that the baptism was for a purpose, even to lead you deeper into God.
Amen.
Amen. Shall lead you into all truths. Praise God. Was there any other?
Second coming of Christ is taking place right now within the body of Luke.
It has and is.
Yes.
Yet, the word second coming means the second coming forth. When was Jesus' first coming? Was it when he was born or when he was conceived?
He was born.
Right, you see. He was born, and men were looking for him to come in a different way. And right now, the same thing is happening. People are looking for Jesus to come in a different way, and he's coming in his saints. Because he said it. I mean, it's so plain, it's not funny. For the blessing of some who never heard this before. I really don't want anybody to get a rupture in your spirit here.
Now, right now, the average Christian is looking up to outer space.
Matthew 10. Yeah, you see, it's going to be a great disappointment, because when the church finds out that Jesus Christ didn't take them out of the tribulation and they are in the midst of it, and the beast and the false prophet is right there, they are going to realize that their doctrine is wrong, and it is good for us to tell them from now.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 10 and verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, now I want you to apply your spiritual minds to this piece of scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, verse 23, but when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. That's pretty hard, eh? For those who really don't see this. I thank God that man didn't write the Bible. You know, once I was talking to a man and he said, oh, the Bible is white man write it. He says, a white man write the Bible. I said, brother, this Bible is against the white man. How would he write a Bible against himself? Of course, if he had said it was a black man, right, I'd tell him the same thing. You see? Praise God. Now, if these theologians had the opportunity of writing the Bible, they would never put this in it. Because this overthrew all the theology we have learned. Amen. You see, Jesus then came the day when the sheet came down from heaven, and Jesus said to Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, I wouldn't eat anything common or unclean. And God showed Peter that I'm sending you to the Gentiles. For what I have cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. That day, the gospel left Israel.
That's right.
They had gone through the cities of Israel, and they were now going into Samaria. Praise be to God. God, Jesus said to Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And Peter opened at Pentecost. And Israel was made glad. And he went and opened in Cornelius' house again, and the thing was opened for all others to go in. They had left Judah and gone into Samaria, and it means that Jesus had come. But you see, the point about it is the return of Jesus meant the coming back of the Christ Spirit to inhabit men like in how he inhabited the man named Jesus. For the Bible definitely shows that Jesus was inhabited by the Christ. That's what the scripture said. So there's a man named Jesus who was inhabited by the Spirit named Christ. There is a man who is called the beast, and there is the false prophet. But there is a spirit called the Antichrist spirit, which was in the world long ago. So I want you just to understand, it is Christ and his kingdom. Amen. And there's a man named Jesus. And the man named Jesus has got to come. The kingdom has got to come. And the Spirit Christ has got to come in you.
Amen.
So when you're talking about the coming of Christ, you're not talking about the coming of Jesus yet. For Jesus was the Christ. But he promised that you will be filled with the same spirit as he is. And he said the heavens will receive him until the restitution of all things. Isn't that right? If I say anything wrong, you know, you just get down on me. Praise be to God. The heavens would receive him until the restitution of all things. So all things have got to be restored. Then the heavens will let him out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Then we will see Jesus. But before we see Jesus, we are going to be filled with the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
And there will be a shaking in the earth and a coming forth. And the dead in Christ shall arise.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
This is the end of message, M037, A Quickening Spirit.